to introduce the second speaker, Pam R. from Montgomery area.
Addie Pam.
Hey, Pam.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you're sitting next to somebody, please reach over and hug them and tell them you love them. And if you're not sitting next to somebody, if you feel like getting up, please do. And if not, acknowledge your higher power. Thank you. That always helps me get centered and remember that God is here and that I always pray that God speaks through me so that I can carry a pure message of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I was asked to speak on integrity, doing the right thing when nobody's looking. And my sponsor thought that was pretty funny because until recently, I was acting out on a particular behavior and she had me back on the first step under the denial section in the workbook, you know, about the plausible untruths that I tell myself in my own voice. You know, I have a mind that can convince myself of pretty much anything that I want. And I learned here early that if I want somebody to co-sign my bullshit, I know exactly who to go to. You know, I'll go to somebody in my network and they'll tell me it's probably not a good idea. And I'll go to somebody else in my network and it's probably not a good idea. And then I'll go to a newcomer who's happy to co-sign my bullshit and come along with me. So in order to stick around for a while, I had to make lots of mistakes. Kind of just like, how did I learn about the traditions? By breaking them. But like Joe said, we have to love each other through this process. You know, love is the glue of Narcotics Anonymous, and gossip is its poison. And as addicts, you know, I'll do anything to get out of myself when I am feeling badly. Anything. So I have to remember that the spiritual principle of the 10th step is integrity. It's the only principle in the back of the step working guide under any step where integrity is listed. And so, of course, I don't get to the 10th step until I've done the 9 prior. And the steps are definitely in order for a reason. You know, I was told that I could do any step with a 1 in it every day, which means I have to surrender every single day. Now, some days I wake up and I feel okay, and other days I wake up and my disease just tells me, don't even bother getting out of bed. You know, don't even bother taking a shower. Don't even bother, And I have to remember. First of all, my story is that I'm dual diagnosed, and it's challenging. You know, when I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous 23 years ago, I was a broken little girl. I didn't have no self-esteem, I had negative self-esteem. You know, I needed validation from everybody outside of me. And I walked into the rooms and y'all said to me, keep coming back, we need you. You know, and at the end of my active addiction, nobody was asking me to come back anywhere. So I didn't understand it, but I felt a spark of connection. You know, just like when, I think my favorite thing in Narcotics Anonymous is to watch in meetings, to watch the people who pick up white key tags. And oftentimes I see these dead eyes. And I get to stick around long enough, if they stick around long enough, and encourage them, that spark comes on. You know, that hope comes in. So when I take it back to the foundation in 1, 2, and 3, I've got to surrender. And I have to surrender every day to the disease of addiction. Because the disease of addiction wants me dead, but it'll really settle for me to be miserable. You know? It's patient, it's cunning, it's baffling, and it's insidious. And sometimes I can't see what's going on with me, which is why I need all of you. You You know, this is a wee thing, and I've stayed clean a day at a time with major mental illness and the disease of addiction only because I did what you all told me to do when I was a newcomer. You told me to go to meetings. You told me to suit up and show up whether I wanted to or not. You told me I couldn't save my face and my ass at the same time, so if my ass was on fire, bring it into a meeting, and you would all help me put the fire out and keep it on. You know, it was those days when I dragged myself into a meeting and I was loved through whatever I was going through, whatever pain, whatever fear, even though it was probably just between my ears. You know, this disease manifests in low self-esteem, self-centered fear, obsession, and compulsion. And if I could fix my own character defects, you know, I wouldn't need a 6th and 7th step. So I have to surrender. I have to surrender every day. And I suggest that I've joined the No Matter What Club, and I encourage everybody to do that. There is nothing that could happen which would cause me to use. Now, I say that when I stand up here. I've really worked hard, and I really don't have any reservations that I haven't addressed. You know, working a thorough, vigilant, honest 4th step where I've listed all my resentments. In my first 4th step, I had 89 resentments. The last 4th step I did, I had 5. And, you know, working through the process of the steps, okay, I surrendered. You all gave me some hope. You asked me to come back. You told me I was important. Really? You know, so I did what was suggested. I got a sponsor. But the way I got my sponsor, because I'm an arrogant addict, is I was sitting in the back of a meeting, and when I got clean, you could still smoke in meetings. But I couldn't sit still. I told you I'm dual diagnosed. I have a lot of anxiety. So I was running out of the meeting, smoking, coming back in, smoking, coming back in. And this chick was sitting behind me, and she tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked at her, and she said, "You know, if you want to get some recovery, baby girl, you might want to sit in the meeting and listen. And do you have a sponsor?" And I said, "No, you want to be my sponsor?" You know, and that's why I got my first sponsor. And she helped me a lot, you know. She came over my house when I had buried my paraphernalia in the backyard because I had a reservation. You know, I like nice things, so I had a thing I used to wear, a utensil I used to wear around my neck. You know, I buried them. I had a lovely, you know, piece of paraphernalia, and I buried them all. And she came over, and we dug them up, and we took the heel of my boot, and we smashed them. So that got rid of my obvious reservations, you know. But I came in, and I wanted to identify out. And I think that that is pretty common for people who are afraid, who have lost any semblance of control of their lives and are approaching that gift of desperation. You know, my first master teacher taught me, you got to go through your go-through to get to your get-to. And whether that means I am beaten, and when I drag myself in here, I have that gift of desperation, or whether I was invited here by America's finest, if I got a nudge from the judge, it doesn't matter how you got here. Please stay. You know, we are a fellowship that is growing. We are a worldwide fellowship that started in 1953 in California, where two addicts, two convicted felons, could not meet on the street without fear of being arrested. So I learned all of these things because you told me to become an informed member of Narcotics Anonymous. So, you know, I got some hope in the 2nd step. And you all told me I have to make a decision. You know, the 3rd step is an action step. And it's about my willingness. And it's for me to take that willingness and maybe, just maybe, walk through some fear and get a little faith. And I get that faith from watching all of you keep coming back, doing what is suggested. Now, when I sponsor girls, sometimes I make suggestions and sometimes I just say, do it, because that's the direction that I needed. You know, I didn't need any wiggle room. I'm a smart addict. You know, I can figure this out. So I sat down and I did a searching and fearless moral inventory. And it was really as searching and fearless and moral as I was then. And you know, I wrote all that stuff down and it was a zillion pages, and I was the kind of addict, I really wanted to share it with my sponsor because I thought I was so awful. You know, I really thought she might get up and leave. And my experience was that she loved me through all of my self-loathing. And a lot of the things that I did, she did too. You know, so in the fifth step, we got to the exact nature. Because each of us comes in here with a core wound. And I've learned, you know, whether yours is abandonment or mine is not being enough. You know, I grew up in a house where my parents were very bright and well-educated, and no matter what I said, I wasn't enough. I was expected to sit in the corner and look pretty, and when they called on me, be brilliant, but otherwise keep my mouth shut. It was a challenge growing up in my house, and I learned how to dissociate really early. And mental illness runs in my family, so I know from my behavior as a child, this disease of addiction was ingrained in me very early. And like, I remember, I lived in New York, I grew up in New York, and I was living in an apartment building and I used to play with the kids downstairs. And I called my mom up and I said, Mom, they're going to the candy store, can I go? And she said, no. So I came home eating candy and she said, where'd you get the candy? And I said, oh, Hildy and Harlan got it for me when they went to the candy store. And she just started shaking. I was in second grade and she smacked me across the face because she saw me out the window, go across the street. So, you know, I learned really early to be manipulative, and integrity is doing the right thing for the right reason when nobody's looking. You know, and my sponsor laughed and she said, I want you also to remember, Pam, that because this is a program of attraction, not promotion, you need to do the right thing when people are looking. You know, I can't wear a Narcotics Anonymous piece of clothing and then act like a jerk, because that's the message people are going to get, that people in Narcotics Anonymous don't care, they throw trash, they whatever we do, that we learn to do less and then hopefully continue to do less, and the things we do more are live by the spiritual principles that Joe talked about. So in the sixth step, it's about willingness. I'm entirely ready. I'm entirely ready, but I can't do it by myself. Believe me, you guys, every six-step list I've ever written, the first three defects are the same. People-pleasing, enabling, and judgment. So, you know, for us women, I think people-pleasing and enabling, because of how we grew up in this time, is something that we just do because we learned how to do it. And so in seven, it's about humility. It's about me getting right-sized. It's about me integrating all of me so that I don't have to feel like I'm better than you or I'm less than you. You know, what I love about Narcotics Anonymous is that it taught me, you know, to value all of you and the gifts that God gave you, because all of us are here. God doesn't make junk, and we are all, no matter what your dogma or the lack of dogma is, we're all perfectly imperfect human beings created by whatever creator you believe in. And we're all perfectly imperfect. So as a community of Narcotics Anonymous, I get to appreciate your gifts and be grateful for that. and I get to appreciate my gifts and be grateful for them, because together we can do so much more than any of us can do by himself. So in 8, I make a list. I've got this list of all these people that were on my resentment list, all of them. And I make that list, and then I shift into the second part of the 8th step, which is I become willing. So I had to have some willingness in my foundation to take it into the later steps. And right now I'm on my 9th step again. And I was writing on it last night. You know, I've been through the steps. I've had about 7 or 8 sponsors in my 23-year journey, and I've been through the steps probably, this may be the 6th time. So I encourage you, newcomer, the answers are in the steps. We read it at every meeting, how it works. Very simple. This is a simple, simple program for us complicated, brainiatric addicts. You know, and we're all very smart, whether or not we've had the privilege of being educated. We're all very smart people. Because in order to learn to connive and manipulate, you know, we have to have learned how to connive and manipulate. You know, so what I'm doing now is I'm making living amends to the people that I've hurt, because the 9th step is about compassion. The 9th step is, if I have compassion for me, only then can I really have compassion for anyone else. You know, the 9th step is about restoration. It's about reclamation. You know, lost dreams awaken and new possibilities arise. I get to reclaim what I wanted to do as a little girl. That my disease of bipolar and my disease of addiction got me by the short hairs. And I you know, when I was the year I was 20, I spent 11 out of 12 months in a psychiatric facility. I've had ECT 3 times. My brain has never been broken. It's just other people's fear of who I am, you know, caused them to tell me I was broken, and I bought it. You know, when your family tells you you're broken, I bought it. So being a smart addict, or I like to think so, I looked up the word integrity, since I was asked to speak on integrity. And integrity is the quality of being honest and fair. But more important to me, it's the state of being complete or whole. You know, it's about being integrated. You know, part of my mental illness is that I learned how to dissociate to survive. The things that were happening in my house and around me, you know, I grew up in a house where there was either screaming or crying. And, you know, as a little girl, the house you're in is the only perspective you have. So I didn't realize that other people's houses were safe, where my house wasn't unsafe, was unsafe. So I learned how to just leave my body and watch what was going on in my house. So I was totally not integrated. I was dissociated. And what I get to do today is feel my feelings. When I'm in a feeling and I make a decision, which is usually not the best decision because we all have first thought wrong disease. You know, I have a network of women who I trust. I have a sponsor. You all told me to get a sponsor. And to tell her everything. Everything. That's why in the end of the 4th step it asks, is there anything you've left out? And is there anything you've embellished? Because certainly, you know, I have a great fantasy imagination, and things I think happened in my life may or may not have happened. Once again, it's about doing the next right thing for the next right reason when no one's looking, because it's about me and my connection with my higher power. You know, 1, surrender. 10, do a personal inventory. If I do that inventory and I tell myself the honest truth, I have integrity. It means I don't have to add anybody to my 8th step list because I made a prompt amends. And it means that I try to live these principles to the best of my ability. Today, just today, whatever happened in the past, it's made me who I am, the woman standing up in front of you today. But there's absolutely nothing I can do about it except accept it, learn from it, and keep it moving. You know, and then 11, I sit and I have a very dedicated spiritual practice. You know, it's helped me quiet a mind that was always in full tilt boogie. It was always rattling. And a lot of the stuff that was rattling in it made sense or didn't make sense. And I'm grateful for the outside help that I got, and I encourage you, if outside help is an avenue that you want to explore, every one of us, I don't know any one of us who's come in here without some sort of PTSD. We all have it, whether it was from our childhood, whether it was from the war, whether it was from being in jail, whatever it's from, we've all suffered stuff that reverberates on our cellular level. So I sit in prayer and meditation, and I do a particular type of yoga, which has changed my life so much that I teach it now. It has caused this person whose brain could not stop through prayer and meditation to just be able to go. That's what recovery has given me. So you'll see me doing service. My first sponsor gently took me by the hand and led me into service. And I watched her because she did service and she still does service to this day. I can't keep what I have unless I give it back. And my message is different than other people's messages. My experience, strength, and hope is different than other people's messages. But it's mine, and it's what I've got to share, and it's the only thing I've got to share. It's my story. And thank God we're all different, but we're so much more alike than we are different. So that if I do the next right thing for the next right reason, I don't have to really tell anybody about it because it shows in my walk. You know, mouth says anything. Behavior doesn't lie. You know, just look around here at this convention. You know, you can see the people who are living the program, and you can see the people who are here because they want what we have. And so it's my obligation to walk the walk, to welcome the newcomer, to tell you, you are the most important person in any meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. And please, please, do the simple things that they told me. Get a sponsor, get a home group, get some literature, read it, get in service, and don't use no matter what. You know, they didn't say it that succinctly when I came in. You know, they said it, when I came in, it was sit down, shut up, take the cotton out of your ears, put it in your mouth. If you want to know how to get high, we'll ask you. Because that's all I knew when I came in. And because of the love of this fellowship, you all have given me a life worth living because I have integrity and I live by the spiritual principles that you all taught me about. And if you want to know what the spiritual principles are, pick up a step working guide. Get a sponsor. Don't do step work with the last person you got high with, which is don't sponsor yourself. And at the end of each step, before the moving on section, is a step of spiritual principles. And it tells you which spiritual principles are associated with each step. And you get to talk about that as you write about it and you run it by a sponsor who has experience, strength, and hope. And as a member who's been around a little while, sponsorship is really, really important to me. So find somebody who has something that you want. And it can be a fancy car. If that's what you want, that's cool. If that keeps you coming back, that's cool. As I have grown and changed, the things that I want have grown and changed. But what I really, really want is a conscious contact with the God of my understanding, and to be the best Pam that I can be every day. Thanks for letting me share.